words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. For those of you who were here last week, you may think that I made a mistake and recited last week's gospel passage as well as this week. And you're right, except I didn't do it by mistake. I meant to, because today's passage, which begins at the bit where it says, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus and his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. But I think it's important to be able to realise the context, that it's straight after the feeding of the 5,000 in John's Gospel. And last week I showed you this image, which is a logo from a place called Lee Abbey in Devon, in England. And the choir have got their own version facing their way on the altar. And I talked about it last week as being a great image to describe what the church is all about, or what my vision of the church is all about. For the people of Lee Abbey, it's a vision of what their community is about. And their community is a retreat centre and conference centre in Devon. And the idea is that you have these four rather thin arrows coming inward, and then you have these four thicker arrows going outward. That's the heart of the imagery. And the idea is that people come, you know, in their weakness, in their weariness, in their tiredness, in their fatigue, and they spend time at the Abbey, and they are strengthened and transformed, and then sent out renewed in strength to serve in the world, to serve in mission and ministry. And so you can see how that is a great image for the church as a whole, that we come together as a community of faith, we come perhaps in all our weakness and vulnerability, but somehow being together and worshipping together strengthens us, and we are transformed, we're incorporated into the body of Christ and transformed and sent out renewed in strength. And the way I linked it to that feeding of the 5,000 was to say that that was a parable for the church, that Jesus says to the disciples, and that they represent the church, they represent us. You know, when all these people are coming towards them, you know, where are we to buy bread? In Mark's Gospel, he actually says to them, you give them something to eat. In other words, a mission and a mystery is given to us. And we might think, where are we going to get the resources to feed all these people, to minister to the world? How are we going to go on being the church? And the message is that the resources come from within. We are the resources. We don't have to worry about the resources. That when Jesus walks on the water following the feeding of the 5,000, that again is a picture of how we may feel sometimes when we think about the mission and ministry of the church. We think, where's the resources going to come from for us to continue this mission to which we believe we're called? And of course, if we believe we're called, and if our calling is true, then it makes sense that the one who calls us is going to provide for the mission. So when Jesus says to them, they're all terrified in the boat, and he says to them simply, I am. Do not be afraid. In the version that I recited, it says, it is I. Do not be afraid. But literally, it is simply, I am. Do not be afraid. Which reminds me of that Sufi chant, that meditation, I am here, which when recited over a number of times is a very powerful and affirmative message to oneself in one's being. I am here. But the deeper message, and this is where the message continues in today's gospel passage, is that the I am here that we identify with ourselves is also the same as the I am that Jesus is talking about. In other words, the divine presence, the divine life. So the feeding of the 5,000 for me becomes a parable in a different sense as well. When Jesus is found on the other side of the sea, the people say to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And he says to them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life." Now this is a very powerful message if we have ears to hear it. Because first we have Jesus doing this sign, this feeding miracle, which in Mark's Gospel, which also has the feeding of the 5,000, it remains a feeding miracle. And in fact, the feeding miracle is repeated in Mark's Gospel. We have the feeding of the 5,000 and then the feeding of the 4,000, just to emphasize the point. And then we have the disciples in the boat who forget to take more than one loaf. And the loaves were quite small in those days. But Jesus says to them, you know, when they start talking about having no bread, he says, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and the 7 loaves for the 4,000? In other words, why are you even doubting that you have the resources? But in John's Gospel, we get taken a stage further. Because in John's Gospel, as we heard, first of all, the people see the sign that he's done, and they say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." In other words, they're impressed, but they totally miss the point. Because Jesus realizes that they're about to come and take him by force to make him king, it says. But whether they were literally going to make him king, or whether they were going to come and lord him as this prophet that was to come, which Jesus apparently was not, because he withdrew again to the mountain. Because he knew that they had misunderstood what had just happened. They were still operating on the level of the feeding miracle, on the level of bread. And so when they find him, he says to them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, not because you got the message of the feeding of the 5,000, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." In other words, they haven't been able to see what the sign is pointing at. Signs point to something beyond themselves. This is a sign. It points to something beyond itself. It points to a vision of the church. The sign that Jesus did in the feeding of the 5,000 had to do with where our life and our vitality come from. When we eat, pretty well everything we eat is something that was alive. Now there may be some miracle, some minerals that we add to our food, like salt, okay? But even salt kind of grows, but I wouldn't go so far as to say it's alive. But we eat meat, if we're not vegetarians. We eat fish, eggs, milk. And even if you're a vegan, you eat maybe tomatoes, lettuce, carrots, potatoes. Hope I'm not making anyone hungry, especially if you've not had breakfast yet. Poached eggs, bacon, coffee. all of it has been growing. It all has life in it, life energy. And if you think about it on a very human, basic, biological level, we live because we eat things that live. There's an exchange of life energy that is going on. And there is a sacrifice going on. And perhaps we are aware of it most when we eat meat, maybe fish, because we're aware that these were sentient beings that a short while ago were swimming free in the ocean or wandering free on the pastures. And when you consider that, well, when I consider it, I'm humbled. I'm humbled to think that the only reason I'm alive is because I ingest other living things. And as well as being humble, I feel grateful. And in a way, maybe this is one of the most powerful reasons why it's good to be thankful before we eat. Not just thankful to the Creator who's provided the food, but thankful to the food itself, which has been sacrificed. The life in the food is being given up, if you like, given to us, and we ingest it, and that becomes part of our life. The life that we are taking in feeds our life. Now, this may seem very obvious to you, and you may think that I'm a bit thick, taking over 50 years to sort of get to this realization. But what Jesus is saying through this feeding of the 5,000, and what he then goes on to say afterwards about I am the bread of life, is a deeper truth than simply that the life we live is drawn from the life that we eat. Because the life we live is also one with the divine life. Who's to say what it means to be divine? We talk of God as if we know what we're talking about. But in a way, God is just a three-letter word, a symbol for what cannot be expressed, what is beyond our words, beyond our thoughts, beyond our imaginings. But when we talk of divine life, then it makes me realize that all life is really divine. As we heard in that reading from St. Paul about there being one God and Father of all, who is in all and through all. In other words, St. Paul recognizes that the divine life is all around us. And in that reading from St. Paul, he encourages his hearers to grow up into the full stature of the measure of Christ. Christ is not simply the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Christ in the Christian tradition is a word, a sign, that points to the divine in the presence of humanity. The human face of God, if you like. So we are being invited to become what we truly are. To realize the divine life that is within us. And so, we have Jesus speaking, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And we're going to have some more of this talk in the weeks that follow, because for the next 3 weeks, we are still in John chapter 6, and we're invited to dwell on this thought about the flesh and the blood of Christ. In John's Gospel, there is no story of the Eucharist. There is no Last Supper narrative, apart from the Last Supper where Jesus talks to his disciples, but it's very different from the synoptics. And yet, in chapter 6, we get a lot of Eucharistic language. And we celebrate today the Eucharist as we do each week. And if you've read the reflection at the beginning of your bulletin that I put there. And it's the same one that's been there on a number of occasions before. It's some words from St. Augustine, who is basically saying, you know, the bread that you see there on the altar is your life. It's the life of Christ. And that we become one with that divine life. We become one, but in a sense we are already one. We don't become anything other than what we are already. And yet, through sharing in this Eucharistic meal together, we are able to enter into the sign that is pointing beyond itself, and to realize the divine within us. Last week we talked about getting a vision for what the church is. And in some ways this is a great image for a vision. But a vision doesn't come by just thinking, well, that's a great image, that'll do for us, that's our vision of the church. A vision actually can only come when we see with the eyes of our heart. In other words, when the image, the vision, has become internalized, ingested, if you like. And so I believe that what Jesus is saying here, through the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, through the dialogue that follows afterwards, is that we become who we are by ingesting that vision of who we are. And that vision for us on this day is the vision of the Eucharist, of eating with thankful hearts, recognizing the sacrifice of God in entering into creation, recognizing the sacrifice of God who emptied themselves of the Godhead, who became what we are, so that we may become what he is. So that God becoming human may enable us as human beings to realize our divine life.